Talk Hour, but let's, I guess, welcome back to our show, although it's been, Joe, when was that? Was that a year ago? Or?
It was actually a year and 4 or 5 months.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it was right before we got pinballs into Axeman Brewery, which is one of our key subjects to discuss.
Yeah, we had you on last year just for fun because we saw a story. Somebody ran a story about, you know, pinball machines and local tournaments, and I thought, oh, man, when I was a kid, oh, I loved pinball. That would be pretty cool. So, Joe, I'm calling you Mr. Pinball.
With sure. But Pinball Joe is on the front license plate of my car and what many people call me, starting with my nieces, partly because there were four Joes in my big family, and they were the my nieces are the recipient of the first pinball machine I restored that was dead, and it's still running in their house. So
very
they started
cool.
calling me Pinball Joe.
All right, so Joe is all about pinball. All right, and so when we talked to you over a year ago, I guess things were just sort of starting up. This was like a pinball league and so on.
Right.
Talk about that.
So it's technically called a pinball tournament. There is a difference between tournament and league, but I like the sports reference because that's highly relevant. And we were doing them at my house with the support of an operator out of Pittsburgh who had loaned me some machines plus my machines. And just at that time, we approached Axeman Brewery, and we were having monthly pinball tournaments, and we said to Axeman, the operator from Pittsburgh, and me, we said, you know, you have space here. Axeman Brewery in Bellefonte, I think 18,000 square feet. They had some dead space, something like that. And just we loved the atmosphere, the family atmosphere, the competitive nature of what happened there among cornhole and shuffleboard and foosball, some of which were free and some of which were competitive, and the fact that they had, right down to toddlers, that they were a very family-friendly place. So we said, let's try out pinball here, and we'll do pinball monthly tournaments. And we quickly moved from putting in six machines, which were played without any advertising immediately, sometimes hundreds of times a day.
Ooh.
By people of all ages. People who had the memories and new kids on the block who were coming around and saying, you know, what is this? And parents and grandparents who were stunned to say, you don't know what pinball is. So we got eventually 10 machines in there and had started monthly tournaments over a year ago. And they're competitive and sanctioned by something called the International Flipper Pinball Association, which includes prizes, which includes points. And what we do is there's entry fees, and all the entry fees go back to the top finishers. So it's very competitive, three-hour monthly tournaments. Plus, pinball is being played at Axeman now collectively across the 10 machines about 500 to 800 times a week. And
wow.
Some days, on a Saturday, a busy Saturday, say, where there's a kids' sports camp in town, they'll be played 500 or 600 times.
Holy moly. Which is cool. I mean, that
yes.
is really cool. All right.
And it's what I love to see.
How did you get started in this?
I got started as a player a good 40 years ago when I was in college. And then at grad school, see, Penn State, as many people know, when I was at grad school at Penn State in the 80s, Campus Casino and Playland were two arcades in town that were very popular. And at in its day, Playland was open until 4 a.m., it was a hangout for people, and I would go in there at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning and play, and like many people, you just end up saying, this is competitive even just for me to say I want to beat my high scores. So often that's the question. What's a good high score? How can I beat my own high scores? And we did something at Axeman Brewery in March, which was the one-year anniversary of pinball there to celebrate the one-year anniversary. We made it, it's a dollar a play, but people play it. So we made it half price for the day, and they got played four times as much that day, over 800 times, and we wiped out the high scores at 5 o'clock, meaning we reset them.
Okay.
So we made it a half-price day and a wipe-out-the-high-scores day. So the double incentive was you get to play for less, and we got played four times more than usual. And then the incentive after five was you get to now have the chance for getting your high scores, getting your initials up, which is what matters so much to people is I want to be on the leaderboard, in effect.
All right, Joe, now I'm old. I remember I would put a quarter into a pinball machine and play.
Right.
You're saying it's a dollar now.
It's a dollar at best at, say, a brewery or a bar. At some places, it's $2.
$2?
At some places, they do a credit voucher sort of system or a credit card. You put in, so the idea is you put in credit. You buy a card, and then you give that often to your kid, and there's other games there too. And you just play, and you end up actually just playing. There are machines, not pinball, but other related sort of virtual reality and modern video game machines where they're $5, but that's time.
Ooh.
So it gives you, and you can add time.
Okay.
So it's become very sophisticated in some ways, but very old school for me in other ways. At Axeman, we choose to have quarter drop. Kids like to drop the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They like to drop, drop quarters, and we give out free games sometimes or do half price, and you can earn a free game. So, common price now is a dollar a game, but people will pay it, and kids are very happy. My parents, I should say, at Axeman are very happy to say, here's $10. Go to the change machine and go play pinball. Or Pac-Man. We now have a four-player Pac-Man there, which is, again, builds into the competitive spirit, and that has been very popular the last 3 months. So I'll focus in on the fact that it's old and new. So it's like a pub table with four players possible. So you can have a grandparents, grandkids, parents playing against and for each other, and they're clearing the board at the same time. And it doesn't just have the old marching fruit anymore. You eat a certain pellet, and you get really big, and then you can eat anybody else.
Ooh.
So it becomes competitive. You eat a coffee cup, and you get super speed for 10 seconds. You hit a banana peel, and that slips you all the way to the end, which can be good or bad. You eat a smoke bomb, and that creates a smoke bomb area where the ghosts get trapped. So there's all kinds of cool, intriguing, additions. So I think that's a perfect example of how pinball and video games, the best of them, take the old and the new and put them together, and then quickly parents, grandparents, and kids can figure this out. I'll focus on one more example of that from one pinball machine in a moment. But
what's old is new again. Isn't that amazing? All right, we'll take a break in a moment. Now, I'm assuming there's a tournament day coming up here.
It's
shortly.
Always the first Sunday of every month at Axeman Brewery. So the first Sunday of every month. So that next Sunday will be, I believe it's July 3rd. And I have a Facebook page. See if July 3rd is correct.
Sunday?
First Sunday of every month.
No, that would be July
5th.
No, the 4th is Friday. It'd be the 6th.
July 6th is the next tournament, and it's always first Sunday of every month. And I have a Silver Ball Sundays Facebook page where we advertise, and we get about 20 to 25 people every month consistently, and they come from mostly here, but from all over the state, because it's advertised and it's competitive and fun, and you earn points towards pinball fame in a registered organization called the International Flipper Pinball Association, which has over 100,000 members. So it is a competitive sport that pays off with world championships and state championships. You'd be surprised at how deep it goes.
Is Tommy like the tournament anthem?
Tommy is not any longer a tournament anthem and is more of an old school game by comparison. And part of that is yes, people will play Tommy as an anthem in a sense. But
okay, now you're talking about a pinball machine.
I'm talking about
the show and the music
show,
and
right.
stuff.
Yeah, it's still obviously the association, and it's where the term gained popularity. So absolutely, you played it last time I was here as the opening segment. And yes, Tommy, the song is obviously the number one associated pinball.
All right. All right, hold that thought. We're going to take a break here. By the way, if you're like, Tommy? What's Tommy? All right, do a web search for Tommy and pinball, and then you'll find out what we're talking about. Joe, I get the feeling some folks out there are like, what the heck are the... Just look it up. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, we're going to spend a few more minutes with our friend Joe Schall. I've got some just nostalgic pinball questions, I think, to ask. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
98.7 The Fox. The Fox. books.
Summer Splash is in the books for 2025. Frank Van Deck was a winner of a beautiful barbecue grill supplied by Pam and Fisher's Market. Along with the barbecue grill, Frank also won a $100 gift card from Giant in Bellefonte. In addition, we had six other winners of great prizes during Summer Splash from throughout the area. Remember, as Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, we want to make summertime fun. Fun in the sun. All summer long with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hey, Ian's doing. Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Yoon's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Lezzer Lumber Great Outdoor Sale now through July 5th. Special pricing on TimberTech and Trex decking. See all our railing options, plus solar and LED lighting by RDI. The best in siding and roofing materials, as well as your summer fix-up. Fixing storm damage and new build projects. Ask about our new Best Plus plastic lumber. It's a long-lasting, affordable solution. Financing available. See all the outdoor living options at LezzerLumber.com. Lezzer Lumber. Decks built to be legendary.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
You've got to
feed the beast.
Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you
feed the beast.
And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7
The Foxy
Knowledge.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Does anybody remember Vanilla Ice? Anybody remember that guy?
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a brand new invention.
Again, we're trying reverse psychology on a hot day. A little ice, ice, baby. All right, just stay cool out there, folks. Let's talk here for a Tuesday morning. Again, Scott with you. We'll have some open line time in just a little bit. Yep, we'll tackle all the heavy subjects, or at least some of them, when we come right back. Right now, again, our friend Joe Shaw, I call him Mr. Pinball. All right, we got this local pinball stuff, which I just think is really cool. And, Joe, you said that there's another event coming up at Axeman Brewery on July 6th.
Correct.
All right, so the first Sunday
first
of,
Sunday
every,
of
month.
Every month.
Now, do people just, like, show up? Do
they
you have
can
to
just
sign up?
Show up. You don't have to sign up. It's useful to look on the Facebook page. Silver Ball Sundays. If you just go Silver Ball Sundays Facebook, you'll find it.
Okay.
And type in Axeman, and you'll find it. And it gives the tournament format, the fact that it's a $10 entry fee plus coin drop. So you end up spending $16 to $20 total. And all of the money goes to the top finishers. We now are running a beginner's division and an advanced division because beginners often aren't so happy about the fact that they get the same winners each time.
I was going to say, define a beginner.
So a beginner is somebody who's not as skilled as the advanced based on a track record. We have a good tournament director who has a whole set of metrics to show them if they wish. They've never perhaps competed in a tournament before. It has nothing to do with age, obviously. Mm-hmm. We have beginners who are in their 60s, and they're choosing maybe to play in beginners because they have a better chance of competing against others who are less skilled, less experienced at pinball. Because the people who are advanced, they play every day. And they compete with themselves.
Okay. I'm having flashbacks to when I was a kid, all right? What are the skills? So I remember when I was a kid, if I tried to do something with the machine, almost invariably tilt.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, shoot, you know,
right.
And so on. What are the skills of pinball?
The skills and part of what makes it a competitive sport are, first of all, knowing the rule set. Saying, what are the actual rules for this game? Even in the games from the 60s and 70s, there were sequences to how you were to perform in order to get higher points. In modern games, there are many sequences and many options, and I compare it, it's like comparing checkers to chess. You learn how to say, what advantageous shot can I take that'll give me multiple possibilities at once? And the part of the rule set is hit what's lit. If it's flashing, you hit it, and then once it's solid, you've collected it. So one thing is rule sets. In that even involves spelling, you know, going. So on the modern machine Dungeons and Dragons, you spell dragon by hitting the dragon, and each letter that you get, then the multi-ball is lit. So that's one, just knowing the rule set. But another that you might not expect, because people say, how do you avoid it going SDTM, or straight down the middle? It's because you learn to aim, and you can learn to aim, I think of it as like baseball. You can trap the ball on the flipper and aim for left field, aim for center field. You can trap the ball and tap it in a way that it goes to the other flipper easily.
Okay.
It's not a difficult skill to master. You can, during a multi-ball, you have three balls going, you can trap two balls on one flipper and one on the other, and tap and pass them and then aim. And so you can retain balls without moving them. So that's one example. And another is, you figure out, okay, if I deliver this to the left ramp, it's going to go to the right flipper, as opposed to straight down the middle. So the skills are about aiming, physics, basic trajectories, how quickly, how abruptly you hit it. You can even bunt, in a sense. So there are many flipper-related skills, and what I do to help teach kids this is we play split flippers. I tell them, you do the right and I'll do the left, and I'll pass it to you, and you trap it, and then you aim for right field, say. Things like that.
Whoa. Now, I was going to say physics.
Yes, sure.
A lot of pinball is just, I will say, good old-fashioned physics.
Absolutely.
You go here, here's this angle, it goes there, and so on.
Absolutely.
How about that?
In a modern game, though, physics comes into play differently because you can add balls, and you can get up to six-ball multi-balls, six balls going at once.
Whoa.
So, and there are upper flippers, sometimes two upper play fields with four flippers. So there's an awful lot involved in that regard, and that's, again, what makes it a game of skill.
All right. Now, these machines at Axeman Brewery, they're your machines?
They are an operator from Pittsburgh called Starport, and I'm the technician. So I do all the technical work on them, and I live just a mile away, so I check on them every day
to
make sure they're 100%.
You have some at home?
I have 10 at home as well.
10 at home. Okay.
From all different eras.
What's the oldest machine you have?
The oldest machine I have is from the late 60s, and it was a one-player game, and that's one where if you tilt, your game is over. And those are two for a quarter. And they even have 5 cent and 10 cent slots.
Oh.
And the newest machine I have is coming in another month or two, called Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, made by a company in the Netherlands who also made The Big Lebowski, based on the movie,
okay.
Based on the bowling movie.
So this is international, too.
Absolutely international. There
All
are
right.
10 manufacturers, at least, and there are at least 10 new titles that come out every year. Stern Pinball is the number one manufacturer, yeah. But there are small manufacturers, very well established, and the latest pinball from Jersey Jack, another manufacturer, is Harry Potter. But the Sticker Shock... $15,000.
Oh!
I know.
Whoa.
So it's like I tell people, just pretend you're buying a coffin, and if you want, you can repurpose it later.
All choked up. Now, this is obviously a big, full-sized pinball machine.
Yes.
Not one of these little mini tabletop
No,
version.
They make
Nothing
those,
like
though.
That.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they make those, though. But there are 10 new titles coming out a year.
All right. Stern, I remember. All
Stern
right.
Pinball was the oldest manufacturer.
Is that American?
Yes,
Stern
and based
American.
In Illinois, and they started, I think, in 1947. And they're the one that survived through all the changes. But then there was, in about the year 2000, everybody else was gone. But there was a resurgence in 2010. And now pinball is big in breweries and basements.
Why was there a resurgence?
There was
I guess,
resurgence.
Why did it disappear in the first place?
It disappeared because of diminishing returns. Video games, the Williams, the major manufacturer, still is in business, but it does slot machines. So you can see the direction that things went. But what happened with that was the rise of the internet, the rise of the home market, the rise of hobbyists like me sharing information, and the fact that pinballs were keeping their value and interest. So it, first of all, diminished from a manufacturing and profit standpoint, and then the resurgence showed that within 10 years after, with new companies coming in, that the price points could go higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
So a new machine now from Stern is $7,000 to $8,000, but they keep their value and people are happy to buy them. I facilitated the sales of 10 different machines this year alone, and locally, and so they made a comeback, and I'm back to the old and new theme, and a quick example of that is the favorite pinball machine at Axeman Brewery. And I was just moving one out, and whenever this happens, I had to move one out to bring one in.
Mm-hmm.
People will look with horror and say, oh, that's my favorite machine. And so there the machine was going out, and a family was looking aghast, and I said, well, I'm sorry, but King Kong is coming in. That's going to be in our next tournament in August.
Mm-hmm.
That, not our next tournament, but the one after that. So we're making room. And then a gentleman said, but not Jules. Not Jules. You're not taking Jules. And I said, I'm sorry, we don't have a Jules pinball machine. And then I realized he was British, and he was saying, Jaws. You're not taking Jaws.
Oh.
So Jaws, the story there, and last week was the 50th
anniversary
of the movie.
Yep.
The story there is that it is the most popular machine with kids and parents. Parents love the movie clips and remember it, and kids look at the shark. They see the shark on the back box, and they also see the fact that I installed a shooter rod, a special shooter rod instead of a regular one that they pull, and it's a shark head with a pinball in it. And they go up to that, and they say, I want to play the shark. You know, that, and that was the, and then I went in 5 minutes after moving these machines, and there was that family playing Jaws, Jules.
Jules.
Yes. Yes. So that is a great example of the most popular machine there. And the kids love it for the shark and the newness, and the parents love it for the nostalgia. And they play it together and just have a blast. And it's a fabulous, fabulous machine. A quick example from it that's a video is when you tilt, then it shows the scene of Quinn smashing the radio to destroy radio contact. So they find clever ways to say, you know, to integrate the fun and the theme of the movie with the actual gameplay.
That is too cool. Wow. All right, Joe, real quick before we wrap up, what's your favorite machine?
My favorite machine must be, I guess, Attack from Mars, in that it was from the greatest era, I think, the 90s, Williams Bally era, and you shoot actual Martians who hurl insults at you, and they hop up and down. You shoot at Martians, and it was sort of it's not Mars Attacks the movie. It was its own original theme, sort of a B movie, science fiction movie, and it's one you can play and master very quickly, but you can also spend a good year, you know, trying to beat it. And that is actually now down at Champs downtown, which also has pinball machines on Allen Street. And I've owned four of them and restored two of them. So I guess I don't own one now. But because I mastered it and got more interested in restoring it and selling it to others and spreading that joy, I'd say that has to be my favorite based on ownership. I don't think I'll buy another. Hmm. And originally, I bought it for $2,500, and that one has been remade by another company to be even newer the last few years. But now Attack from Mars sells for $12,000.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's insane. That it's appreciated in value because
yes.
of people appreciate it.
Yes.
All right.
And others have, and most keep their value. If you take care of them, they keep their value or appreciate in value. Some do depreciate, mostly newer games that are untried and untested.
I was going to say, the older machines, you ever have trouble getting parts?
You don't have so much trouble getting parts because there's interchangeability, and some people sell dead machines just for the parts.
Oh, okay.
But what you do have is the fact that in a four-player machine from the 70s, you have literally hundreds of switches and relays, and you could think of them as like fingertips touching. They better touch in the right place.
Yeah.
They better be clean. And if not, one switch off, one plastic part broken, can just make the machine act erratically or not work. So I'm not as good at fixing those. That's an art in itself. And the three electromechanicals I have from the 60s are all one-player games, which are much easier, so you don't have four players. When you have four players, it gets much harder to fix them.
I mean, but you mentioned something about the late 40s. I mean, are there still machines out there from, like, the 1950s and so on?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, that would have been 60s into the 70s, and I just remember, I'll call them simple pinball games. They weren't flashy, you know, it was just basic pinball, whereas more toward today, it's like videos, and you mentioned all that other stuff. I would love to just get my hands in a good old-fashioned pinball machine from like the 60s or 50s.
Right. Like many people, and they are available. I mean, I have, again, facilitated sales of those to other people, and there is a local person who has electromechanicals and gets them working. That's what they're called. Pre-1978, mm-hmm. before computer boards,
yes.
electromechanicals. But again, the principle is it working? Is it clean? And in particular, often is it a one-player game, which is going to be a lot easier to fix and support, a lot less likely to break down. But there are people who own every era of machine. The operator I mentioned from Pittsburgh, he's into all kinds of stuff, but he has the machines at Axeman Brewery. He owns about 2,000 pinball machines alone.
Holy
from
moly.
From every era.
Wow.
And routes them all over. He has a place in Pittsburgh where they have 60 machines.
What's old is new again.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Isn't that refreshing?
Actually, it is. Yes. I mean, like I said, I'd love to get my hands on an old pinball machine. Not that the newer ones are fine. That's fine. Just I would stand there probably and stare at it for a while like, I think I remember this from when I was like 10
yes.
years old or something
exactly.
like that.
A lot of people ask me about that. When they go into Axeman, that's what they say. Oh, I'd love to play an old one again. I'm probably soon going to route, meaning put out for play, one of my electromechanicals at Titan Market, which is attached to Axeman in Titan Energy Park. Only open Fridays and Saturdays, but that'll be two, it's working 100%, and I'm still working on it to fine-tune it, but it'll be two plays for a quarter. So, you know, you can still go out in there and play one.
Now, is this a job or a hobby for you, Joe?
Well, I'm now retired just as of 2 years ago, and it was a hobby, but I may as well call it a job now because I'm doing almost full-time work on pinball machines now that State Amusements locally has closed, who used to have some pins and sales. And I'm connected with the local people who own pinballs and repair them and local distributors, including in Sunbury, Pennsylvania, a major distributor. So for me, it's become, you could say, a job where I'm making a little money and pretty much doing it full time. Part of that is you can go into a repair that you think will take 5 minutes and it might take 3 hours, or you might fail. And I'm a pretty good tech, but not an expert, especially with electronics. Most issues are mechanical. 95% of the time, it's actually mechanical. You might think it's electrical, but it's just a wire that came off. It's just a bending of a piece of metal. It's just knowing. So it's a sort of a do-no-harm approach and say, what's the minimum I need to do to get this running, and then test it and keep working at it. And I have a few other people locally who are hobbyists who help out when I run into trouble.
And it sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a great time. It's I retired to essentially do become Pinball Joe full-time.
That is cool.
Ask for the license plate from my wife last year for my birthday, because that's what people started calling me, and I may as well own it.
All right, so not Mr. Pinball, Pinball Joe.
Fair enough.
Okay. So real quick, now this next tournament is going to be on Sunday, July 6th. Axeman Brewery, what time?
12:30 is when I encourage people to show up to practice, but Axeman opens at 11. And they also have a nice Sunday brunch, which is popular. So coming in at 11, fine. The tournament itself goes from 1 to 4, always. Silver Ball Sundays goes from 1 to 4. You spend less than $20, have a great time, great social time, 3 hours of competitive play, and it truly is competitive. And there's software that shows your ranking and matches up which player will play whom on the next machine. So it's very sophisticated, and then you earn points towards your ranking in that particular tournament.
So, again, there's a beginner group and an advanced group.
Yes.
So if you're like, oh, man, I haven't done this in 30 years,
right,
you can get in the beginner group.
Absolutely. Right. And we've had we had a Star Wars Day tournament on May 4th.
Oh, yeah.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
And featured just for kids. And the person who won that tournament, I think, is 11 years old. And, you know, the youngest player was 6 years old.
Oh.
And that person who won is the son of a local player. And they come and play together in the tournaments, and he beats his dad. You know,
whoa.
I may be wrong about his age. He may be 14. But the point is, young people are really discovering it and doing well. The top three players in the world, because there are world rankings, are 20, 21, and 22.
How about that?
And
I would have thought older than that.
They've been competing for 10 years. And I mean going around to different states and competing in national championships. So they're, and often with their dads or their moms.
It's Tommy.
Yes.
It's Tommy. Tommy lives.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, Joe, thanks much for coming in. Again, we had that
pleasure.
That power issue a month and a half ago or whenever that was. And, again, we had ours yesterday. I'm like, don't tell me I got to tell Joe to postpone again. Ah!
I appreciate it.
We put it all together. Sometime I've got to come up on a Sunday afternoon when
absolutely
you're doing this.
Come
but,
to
but those
Axeman
machines are
Brewery
there all the time.
They're there whenever Axeman is open. And as I said, the when we do something like a 50-cent promotion, and our next one, Axeman is going to be open on a Tuesday, July 8th, for its 5th anniversary. And they'll have a picnic dinner, and they'll have several concerts, and we'll have a 50-cent day that day, and we'll introduce King Kong, the newest Stern title, that day as well. So it'll be a big pinball music food day at Axeman Brewery on July 8th from 4 o'clock till, I believe, 11 p.m.
All right, if Axeman Brewery is listening, we will send you a bill for the free advertising here, all right, a whole
you
bit
bet
of it. So, Joe, again, thanks, and please keep me up to date with, you know, if some special thing's coming up, you got my stuff, send me a note.
Thank you.
That just sounds like a blast.
It is. Happy flipping to all.
Pinball flipping, not the other kind of flipping, okay? No, that we'll save that for protests, all right? We're not doing that. Joe, thanks again for coming in, all right?
Pleasure.